And we support a number of independent and non-denominational missions and mission works, but we also do support quite a few Assemblies of God missionaries, and there's a great accountability, and that's always a good thing where money's involved. And we know that when we give to those missionaries, that all of the money we give is used for missions work, and that it's used well. And so we do support quite a number of Assemblies of God missionaries, and we frequently have missionaries in on Wednesday night, and you know, vision is imparted and people are given an opportunity to give an offering to those missionaries. But on Sunday morning, we really haven't done that in a long time. And so I just, you know, want to put this before you, that missions is an important part of the Lord's work. And it's not just about us here in Burleson reaching this community and building a church, but we want to participate in what God is doing around the world. And so we want to be faithful to give in that regard. Well, I want to share this letter with you, just at least a portion of it. Got this a few weeks back. It says, "This letter is because your church is among those that increased their missions giving during 2009, the year in which we experienced the greatest decrease in missions giving in Assemblies of God history. Please express our profound gratitude to your congregation for their increase in giving. We are especially grateful to you for this increased giving because you have done so when a significant majority of churches that support AG World Missions actually gave less to missions in 2009 than they did in 2008. And so, as the letter stated, I wanted to share that with you just to encourage you that even though the economy may have taken a downturn, that our giving to world missions is still going up. And we want to see that continue this year. Amen. We don't ever want to go backwards. I believe God is a God of increase. But, you know, we give in according, I'm saying we as a church give to missions in accordance with the giving of the members. And so I just encourage you to participate in missions giving. You can always give an offering to missions and to support the many missionaries that we support by just marking on your offering envelope there an offering above your tithe. Just put that this is missions, and whatever you put on there, we'll apply that towards our missions program. And by the way, I want you to understand how we do that. When we support a missionary, when we commit to support them, we don't ever stop supporting them as long as they're on the field. We would never commit to a missionary a certain amount per month, and then a year later or 2 years later, while they're on the field, we just stop supporting them and leave them high and dry. We feel like it's, as a church, it's very important that we, when we commit to them, we're going to be faithful to support them at least until they come home and itinerate. Now, many of them, even when they come home, we continue to support them until they go back, and we continue on in our support. Some of them we may reevaluate, but there's never a time that we'll stop supporting a missionary while they're out there on the field. And so, you know, I want you to kind of understand how we do that. And so when you give to missions in the church, that helps us to continue to support all those missionaries, plus add new ones. Every year we try to add new ones as we feel like the Lord leads us to. Now, I've said all that to say this. We're going to receive a special missions offering next Sunday. And I just wanted you to know about it ahead of time so that you can pray about that and it be something that you really feel like that you're obeying God in, and not just something. We're not going to pull. We're not going to say, "Oh, please give." We don't do that here. Has anybody noticed that? But we do want to give you the opportunity, and I want to give you the opportunity to pray about it this week. And if that's something that you believe God would have you do, then that way you can come prepared to give for that missions offering next Sunday. Well, pray with me as we prepare our hearts for the word of the Lord this morning. Father, I thank you for each person that's come today to worship. I thank you, Father, for the Spirit of the Lord that's in this house, the presence of God that is here. And Lord, I pray that today that you would do a work in each heart and life. I pray, Father, that we'll not leave the same that we came. It'll not just be another Sunday, another service. But Lord, I pray that today that our faith would rise to a new level. I ask you, Father, that you would impart fresh vision to lives. Father, I pray that there would be those that have come today just out of habit or ritual or just out of someone bringing them or asking them. Lord, however they came, that today would be a day of new commitments and new beginnings in their life. And Father, I thank you for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today my message title is very simple, and I'm going to give it to you just the way I got it. Big. Big. That was it. You know, people say, well, how do you get your messages? All kinds of ways. I mean, too many to name. You know, sometimes I'm just in prayer. Sometimes I'm studying and reading. Sometimes I might even be driving down the road and God gives me a message. But this message a little over a week ago, as I was praying, I just got this word, big. That's it. Didn't take me long to understand where it was going, though. We serve a big God. A God who can do absolutely anything. He spoke the worlds into existence. That's how big He is. He just spoke it all into existence. You know, they talk about how much power the sun has, and yet it's just an average star. There are stars that are millions of times more powerful than our sun. And yet all of that power, He just spoke it all into existence by His Word. Amazing, the power of God. What an awesome God He is. How big. We're going to begin in Daniel chapter 3 today. And in fact, we're going to keep coming back to this story. So if you have your Bibles, you might turn over to Daniel chapter 3. And we're just going to read verses 17 and 18 for now. But Daniel chapter 3 tells us a fantastic story. How that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up a golden image and that everybody was to come and worship, bow down to this golden image. Well, there were three Hebrew young men who refused to bow down to any other god. They refused to worship this golden image. And so they were told, the king tells them, you're going to be thrown into the fire, into the fiery furnace. You're going to be burned alive if you won't worship my golden image that I've set up. In verse 17 and 18 here, we find their response. They said, if that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image you have set up. Here's the first thing I see that they said. They said, the God whom we serve is able. He is a big God. He can do absolutely anything. And we need to know that we're serving a big God, all powerful. Nothing He can't do. There's an old song that says, bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain I can or cannot see. He's a big God. We need to know that. I'm telling you, there are a lot of Christians today, they're singing a different song. It goes like this. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Listen, that may be the song of the world, but it should never be a Christian song. The path of the righteous grows brighter every day. And we just need to remember, we're serving a great God, a big God. Listen, when they tell you that you have cancer, or they tell you that you're about to go into the fiery furnace, it's looking pretty dark. But when you know that you serve a big God, when you realize that your God can do anything, there's no limits. All things are possible with God. That's what Jesus said. The God who can guide a stone from a shepherd's sling. A God who parts the seas when His man extends His staff over the water. the God who heals the sick and raises the dead, the God who chooses the foolish and the weak to confound the wise and the strong. Almighty God, a big God. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." See, he is a God that can do more, way far above what you could possibly even imagine. Can you dream it up? Can you think it up? Can you imagine it? He can do way more than that. That's how big he is. That's a big God. Because we serve a big God who can do anything, we need to have a big vision. We need to have big ideas, big plans, big goals. Listen, they say if you aim at nothing, you almost always hit it. There's a lot of people that aim at nothing. But as a child of God, as a believer in a big God, we ought to be expecting great things. We ought to have vision and goals and dreams that are big because we're serving a big God. Listen, those three Hebrew boys, they had a vision that God was going to deliver them. They said, "He is able to deliver us." They didn't see themselves coming out of that fiery furnace as crispy critters. They didn't see themselves dying in that furnace. They saw themselves coming out victorious. They had a vision that God wasn't through with them, that he would deliver. They said, "Our God is able to deliver us." That was their vision. And you know, we heard Carmen's great testimony last week. I'll just tell you, you know, I've heard of many people when they were sick and it began to affect their appearance even, they got a picture of themselves when they were healthy and put it on their mirror. And every day they would look at that picture of themselves when they were healthy. And there came a day when they looked just as healthy as that picture. What I'm saying to you is you need to have a God vision of your life. Don't see yourself living in poverty, living from paycheck to paycheck. Get a God vision of your life, that God wants to bless you, that he has good things for you. You know, they say, look where you're going. You are looking where you're going. You need to have, did y'all get that? Amen. You're looking where you're going. You need to get a right kind of vision, a biblical vision, God's vision for your life. You're serving a big God. Don't limit him. Don't limit the vision that God wants to fulfill in your life. See yourself healthy and blessed. See yourself as a child of God, an overcomer. Don't see yourself as a loser. The Bible says you're more than a conqueror through him who loved us. You got to have big dreams, big goals, big ideas. Believe God. You know, young people with no vision for the future don't plan for a career. And many times they make bad choices at the beginning of their life that set the course for the rest of their life. It's important to have vision. The Bible says in the King James Version, it says that people without a vision perish. In the NIV, it says where there's no revelation, they cast off restraint. But ultimately, the principle, the end result there is the same. Because when you don't have a revelation, a vision of what God wants to do in your life, you end up just living haphazardly. You end up going nowhere. And the end result of that is that you perish. If you're going to fulfill the plan and purpose of God, you got to have vision for your life, a big vision, because you're serving a big God. You know, if you want to get married someday, you need to have a vision of a blessed marriage. Sometimes young people grow up in a home where they've seen fighting and turmoil, and that's the picture that they have. And society tells us that that influence, we scripturally look at that as somewhat of a generational curse that can be passed down. But society tells us that that influence is passed down from generation to generation. But it doesn't have to be that way. That pattern can be broken. And young people, anybody, not just young people, if you're going to get married someday, you need to have a right kind of vision. You don't have to keep that old ugly vision. You need to get a right vision, a biblical vision of a blessed marriage where there's peace in your home and where Jesus is Lord and the presence of God is there. See, we're serving a big God who loves us. And we need to know this. Every one of us matter to God. He has a plan for every one of us. And we need to have a vision of what He wants to do in our life. And there's a real key. It's what God wants to do in our life. You know, sometimes people just dream up their own selfish ambitions. And you know what? A lot of times that's going to end in disappointment and disillusionment. But as a child of God, as a believer, if you pray and you seek God and you get God's vision for your life and what He wants to do in your life, I'm telling you, there's not anything that you can't do. Psalms 33, 10 and 11 tells us, "The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations." In other words, you know, if we're just in selfish ambition, planning out our life and saying, "I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that," we're probably going to end up being disappointed. But God's plans come to pass. And if we get on board with the plan of God, the vision He has for our life, I'm telling you, it's going to be good. Proverbs 19 and 21 says, "There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand." The NIV says it this way, "It is the Lord's purpose that prevails." So we need to understand if we're going to have vision, a big vision, it needs to be from God, not just something that we dreamed up on our own that we just said, "I want this and I want that out of life." Listen, that sounds like the world. But what does God want to do in our life? And if we'll get a big vision, we got a big God. If we'll get a big vision, I said, God can do great things in our life. You go back to that verse we read from Ephesians 3 and 20. He says, "According to the power that works in us." You see, God wants to work in us. But we got to get on board with what He wants to do in our life. Jeremiah 29, 11, he says this, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Now, if you have a King James Bible, you'll see that where it says, "the plans I have for you," it says, the thoughts I think towards you. But I want you to understand something about that. God isn't like us. We were created in His image. But don't make God in your image. Listen, His thoughts are higher. His ways are higher. Past finding out, that's what the Bible says. But when God, you know, well, look at us. We think all kinds of things. Our minds just run everywhere to all kinds of silly, frivolous thoughts. Some of you doing it right now while I'm preaching. Mind just going everywhere, right? And you're driving down the road thinking crazy thoughts. God isn't like that. He doesn't think fruitless, futile thoughts. And when He says, "the thoughts I think towards you," those are His intentions, His plans for you. And that's why the NIV translators took a little liberty with that and used the word plans. In 16th century English, that word wasn't even used. And so the King James writers don't use the word plans anywhere. But when God thinks thoughts towards you, this is what He's thinking about you. This is His plan for you. His thoughts towards you, His plans, His intentions for you, He says they are good. Not to harm you. No, they're good. Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. That's the kind of vision we need to have for our life. But you need to remember that your limitations are not God's limitations. Don't limit God by your inability and your inadequacies. He tells us very plainly that when we are weak, He is strong. 2 Corinthians 12, 9, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." So you might not be the best student. Do you know that doesn't mean that you can't be successful in school and go on to college and fulfill your dreams? God can help you do that. You can't do it on your own, but God can help you do that. You're serving a big God. You might not have the money to start a new business. You might say, I don't have all of the skills and ability to be a great entrepreneur. But you know what? It's not hard for God. Well, three of you are getting it. Listen, it's not hard for God. You might not have the ability, but if you have a God vision that's what God wants to do in your life, I'm telling you, God is able to fulfill what He puts in your heart. You might think yourself a nobody. He's been making somebodies out of nobodies for thousands of years. He's in the business of doing it. The Bible says that He chooses the things that are not to bring to naught. Oh, that's not the word N-O-T. That's the word not, as in nothing, zero. He brings the things that are nothing. He makes something out of them to bring down the things that are something. I'm telling you, God likes to take the nobodies and make them somebody, because He gets all the glory out of it. You're serving a big God. You need to have a big vision. And don't limit God by your limitations. Psalm 78, 41 and 42, it says, yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember His power. Isn't that amazing how the children of Israel just seemed to forget all the great things that God had done? They forgot about His power. I think the church in America does the same thing today. We limit God and we forget about all the powerful things that He's done. We forget that He's all powerful, that He can do absolutely anything. Don't limit God. We need to remember who it is that we're serving. And when you say, I could never do that, you need to finish that with, without God's help. I could never do that without God's help. But don't limit God by your limitation. Anything He wants you to do, anything He empowers you to do, anything He gifts you to do, I'm telling you, you can do it. In Exodus chapter 4, tells us the story of when the Lord spoke to Moses out of a burning bush. In verse 10, it says, Moses said to the Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you've spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you will say. Moses is trying to argue with the Lord and tell Him, I'm not able. I don't have the ability. I can't do this. And the Lord says, who made your mouth? See, God's not limited by your limitations. He says, I'll help you. I'll teach you. He'll give us what we need to be successful and fulfill the plan and the purpose of God in our life. I tell you, it didn't work for Moses. It doesn't work for us now. We start limiting God by our limitations. By the way, I remember as a young man when I first felt the call to ministry, I said, you know what? There's no way I could ever get up in front of people and speak. So I'll be some kind of a Christian counselor. I'll do something like that. That sounds good. Just as long as I never, ever, ever have to get up in front of anybody and speak. I would take an F in school before I would give an oral report. I remember in church one day after I got saved and serving God, the pastor, I wore a T-shirt. The pastor wanted everybody to see it. He said, Mark, turn around and show them your shirt. Well, nobody looked at my shirt. They were looking at my face glowing red. Just to stand up and let people see me. I've been speaking to people for over 30 years now. That's not anything to you. It is amazing to me. Absolutely amazing. But God can give the ability and He can use us however He wants to. But you got to have a big vision. You got to be willing to see that God's not limited by your limitations. If you have a big vision, it takes big faith to see it to come to pass. Jesus said in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, let it be to you. According to your faith, let it be to you. But you know, He also said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain and it'll be removed. So Jesus wasn't telling us that we have to have perfect faith, or our faith has to be the grandest, most wonderful faith that any person has ever had. I'm saying that to you because the devil works against people's faith like this. Your faith's just not enough. Remember the other day you had those doubting thoughts? Too late for you. You missed it. Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in God. That's where our faith is. Four times in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "Oh, you of little faith." One of those times he says to Peter, as Peter is sinking in the water, he says, "Oh, you of little faith." And he lifts him out. Why is Peter sinking in the water? Because he's been walking on the water, and he started looking at the wind and the waves, and he became afraid and began to doubt. So Jesus says, "Oh, you of little faith." He's still the only disciple that ever walked on water. I just want you to understand that it takes faith to see the vision of God fulfilled in your life. You got to have this kind of faith. Faith that will take God at His word. Faith that won't back down when it looks impossible. That's what faith is seeing beyond what you see with the natural eye. It is the evidence of things not seen. You got to have a big faith, a faith that relies more upon God than your circumstance. Faith not in ourselves, not in our abilities, not our talents, our wisdom. The people of this world will tell you, "Oh, you got to believe in yourself." No, you don't. People will let you down, and that includes yourself. How many of you have ever let yourself down? I got both hands up. The rest of you are crazy. Come on. We've all let ourselves down. God won't let you down. And you don't need to put faith in yourself. Your faith needs to be in what God can do in your life. And when you trust Him, He is faithful. He will never let you down. Now I want to ask you, what would your vision be if there were no limits, no limitations? What would your vision for your life, what would it be? If anything were possible. Come on, some of you know where I'm going. Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." All things are possible. No limits if you can believe. Those three Hebrew young men said, "He's able, he will deliver us." No, they said, "He's able to deliver us." And then they said, "And he will deliver us." They had faith to see it done. He will deliver us. That takes faith. I'm telling you, their faith was an all-in kind of faith. I want to go back and read those two verses one more time. They said, "If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you've set up." They said, even if he doesn't, we won't serve your gods. We won't worship your golden image. That's all in. That's a total commitment. That's a big commitment. You know, commitment is kind of a dirty word in America today. People don't like commitment. And even in church, commitment is just not a popular subject. But I want you to hear this right now. If you know that your God is a big God, it's not hard to have a big vision. If you know your God is a big God, it's not hard to have big faith. And when you have big faith, it's not hard to commit your life to God. The real issue with commitment is trust. Can you really trust God that much? Church, He's a big God. He's worthy of a big commitment. We have too much of this in the church in America today of just playing church. You got to be all in. It's always been that way. There's never been a time when it was good enough to love Him halfway, good enough to serve Him halfway, good enough to obey Him halfway, good enough to trust Him halfway, or just willing to go halfway. It's never worked. It doesn't work now. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." He said, "No one can serve two masters." Proverbs 3 and 5 tells us to trust the Lord with all your heart. Peter said, "We have left all." It's all in. Well, there are many that have tried to only give God partial obedience. King Saul. What a sad story. King Saul, who halfway obeyed God. There's a lot of people today that do the same thing. Maybe most of the way. Mostly. Here's a common phrase you hear in America. "Well, I do more right than wrong." Oh, I'm thankful for the righteousness that we have as a free gift. Amen? But King Saul didn't fully obey the Lord. And when the prophet comes to him, one of the things the prophet says to him is, "When you were small in your own eyes, God chose you to be king. When you were nobody, God raised you up. And then, you couldn't obey Him and follow through with what He asked you to do." You see, God has always required a big commitment of His people. And because Saul couldn't follow through in obedience, the Lord raised up someone else. Who is that someone else? A young man named David, who would fully follow the Lord, wholeheartedly, all in. That's what God wants of us. Paul said in Philippians 3:8, "I count all things a loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." All things, he says twice there. He was all in to have this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He was willing to commit his whole life to suffer the loss of all things. Too many today just want to dabble in serving God, and they never see the fulfillment of vision in their life because their commitment is too small. Too many today just want to serve God when it seems convenient, as long as it's easy, as long as it fits into their plans and their schedules. Here we go. "I'll be there. I'll be there if it don't rain. You can count on me if something doesn't come up." I'm preaching good right now. Now listen, this isn't personal for me. This is between you and God. But I hear it. For the most part, in the body of Christ today, people don't want to really get involved. "I'm committed here and I'm committed there. I'm committed there and I'm committed there. I don't want to be committed. I just want to be blessed." And you're missing the greatest blessing in life is when God uses you. There's only one thing greater than when God saves you and does a work in your life personally, and that's when God uses you to help somebody else. To how wonderful. Jesus said you got to count the cost so you don't get halfway and quit. Our commitment to God is evidenced by our actions. If you really believe that the big God you serve will bring to pass what He's given you, your vision, then you'll give it your all. You'll give your all to see it come to pass. 2 Chronicles 31, 20 and 21 says, this is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah, doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God, and everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple and the obedience to the law and the commands. He sought his God and worked wholeheartedly, and so he prospered. Sometimes we fail. It's not because our God's not big enough. It's not because he couldn't make up for our lack or inabilities. But it is simply because we were not willing to commit ourselves to what God wanted to do in our life. We weren't committed enough to God to follow through with what he asks of us, to be wholehearted in our work, in our service for the Lord. He says, and so he prospered. You know, that's the key many times in life to prospering, to being successful, is that whatever we do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. That we give God our very best in whatever we do. Listen, laziness should never be a reason for us to not be successful in what God gives us to do. Whether it's in your home, as a husband, a wife, a parent, whether it's in your schoolwork, whether it's in the workplace, in business, we should always do our best. Give God our very best in everything that we do. If we want to see our dreams fulfilled, we got to be willing to pursue, to work, to press towards that vision, towards that purpose in our life. Philippians 3, 12 through 14 says, Paul says, not that I've already attained or already perfect, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ, for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. See, he knew there was a purpose. He had a vision for his life. He says, I want to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are before, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, he was reaching forward, pressing forward. And when God gives you a big vision, you got big faith, you got to have a big commitment that you're all in, that you're going for it. You're not sitting back. You're not just waiting. No, but you're reaching forward to what God has for you. And the end result of a big God in our life and having a big vision, a big faith, and a big commitment. Here's the end result. It's a big impact. And as I've already said, there's nothing more exciting in this world, nothing that will fill your life with more joy than when you have an impact on the eternity of others. One totally committed, sold out believer has a greater impact than 100 lukewarm churchgoers. It's always been that way. That God can take one man or woman who's totally committed, all in, and change their world. Jesus said, we're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Those who would truly live their lives for him cannot help but impact the lives of those around them. When you're totally committed to God, you're going to influence other people. You're going to impact other people. If you are totally committed to God, you can't help but impact other people. It's going to happen. And as you pursue the plan and purpose of God, that vision in your life, listen, it's not just the attainment of the vision that influences and impacts other people. A lot of times it's the journey along the way as you're believing God and you're pressing on. Other people see your faith. They see your life, your integrity, your commitment to God. But when God gives us a vision, it should never be. Listen, if God gave it to you, it never is. But when we have vision, let me just put it this way. It should never be just for selfish ambition. It's not just about us. No, when God gives you a vision, it's always about something bigger than just ourselves. God gave Abraham a great vision that his descendants would be innumerable, that all the land that he could see would be his. But he also said that the whole earth was going to be blessed through him. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That as God fulfills his plan, his vision in our life, other people are blessed, other people are touched, other people are impacted. You know, it's not arrogant for you to think that God will use you to make a difference in this world, because it's who's in you. Who's in you? 1 John 4:4 says that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's humbling to know that the big God who created it all, by his Spirit, he lives in the life of the believer. Realize that not only as you see your vision fulfilled, other people's lives are going to be blessed. Other people's lives are going to be touched. You know, I believe this message is for all of us today, that we need to have a big vision. We need to have that big faith, big commitment to God. But I especially want to challenge our young people. Some of you, you need to get a fresh vision for your life. You see yourself going nowhere. Maybe God wants you to be an architect. If the Lord tarries, you'll help a lot of churches build buildings. Maybe the Lord wants you to be a Christian doctor that will pray with people and help people through difficult times in life. Maybe the Lord wants you to be a school teacher that's going to influence literally hundreds of children to know the Lord Jesus. Who knows? Maybe you'll be a Christian politician. I don't mean like the ones we have today. I mean a real Christian politician. Who knows? But you got to have vision. You got to be willing to dream big. Remember that you're serving a big God. Some of you are thinking, yeah, that's good for the young people. It's not too late for you. No, God still wants you to make a difference in this world. When did Abraham have that son? About 100 years old. You're not there yet, are you? If you are, I want to see. I want to know you, all right? I don't think we got any that are quite there. It wasn't too late. It's not too late for you. But you got to have vision for your life, that God still wants to do something in your life. Some of you moms, you might, dads too, by the way, you might be raising, if the Lord tarries, you might be raising the world's greatest evangelist. You don't know. Some of you may reach hundreds or thousands of people, or you might just reach one family by your Christian lifestyle and you serving God wholeheartedly. You might reach one family. Is that a big deal? In eternity, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to that family. What an impact. Big impact. You can be a light in a dark place. Philippians 2:15 says, you may become blameless and harmless, the children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Big impact. We're going to go back to Daniel chapter 3, and we'll close with this passage, Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to pick it up at verse 24, but before we do, let me just tell you what happened. So King Nebuchadnezzar got so mad, he told them to heat the furnace up to 7 times hotter. Listen, just regular ain't going to do. We want to fry these guys good. I want it 7 times hotter than normal. They got it so hot. Now here's the minds of foolish, unbelieving people. Well, maybe it just wasn't that hot. They got it so hot that the men that took them and threw them in the fire were consumed by the flames. It's not looking good for those 3 Hebrew boys, is it? Then King Nebuchadnezzar, verse 24, was astonished, and he rose in haste, spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps and the administrators, the governors, the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. Their hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected. The smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks against or speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Amen. I'm telling you, they had an impact on their world, on their generation, because these three young men were willing to stand up for a big God that they believed in. I'm telling you, God had worked through them to impact this whole nation. It went from, "We're going to persecute you, we're going to burn you to death," to, "Nobody better say anything against their God." I'm telling you, church, we need to have that kind of vision, that kind of faith, that kind of boldness. We're serving a God that's that big. But I want you to make it personal in your life today. What does God want to do through you? What does God want to bring to pass in your life? You need to have faith. You need to have vision about what God wants to do in you. And listen, I can tell you from personal experience, many times we don't get the whole picture. God doesn't just lay out your... Let me tell you why. You couldn't handle it. Most of us just plain couldn't handle it. I told you when I first got called in the ministry, if the Lord would have told me I'm doing this right here, right now, I would have said, "Wait, no. Wrong guy." But sometimes we get it a little bit at a time. Sometimes we just go with what we know right now, the part that God's given us right now. And God reveals the next step and the next, and that vision may get bigger and bigger. But I'm telling you, especially for some of you young people, you need to dream big, and you need to have some visions, some plans, not that are worthy of your abilities, but that are worthy of the God that you're serving. I want you to stand with me, and as Leslie comes and leads us in worship for just a moment, I just encourage you, be willing to commit yourself to the Lord. Be willing to trust Him with your life. Turn it over to Him. To love Him with all your heart. To serve Him with all your heart. I think there's a cry in the heart of many people today that says, "I want to know God. I want to be closer to Him. I want to experience God in my life." In Jeremiah 29:11, we talked about that verse of Scripture. "The plans that I have for you, they're for good, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future." Jeremiah 29:13, two verses later, he says, "You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." There's the key. It's all your heart. It's that big commitment that you're willing to give God your all. Not just halfway, not just a little bit, but you're willing to go all out, all in for God.